Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, thank you so much for hanging on. I'm going to remake an announcement we made that I told you we would remake it this hour. We're going to be August the 30th, 31st, and Labor Day. We're going to be Sunday, excuse me. It'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 30th, 31st, and 1st. I'm having a strange seeing my calendar. We're going to be in Harrison, Arkansas. We're going to be there with a nice party. Oh, God forbid. I hope there's not any Klansmen up there. But anyway, if you want to get more information about that, you can go into, and I hope you have a pencil ready. If not, if you can email this show. We'll give you the information, or you can listen to our archives, you can listen to this. You can email them at, get this, the Knights, KNIGHTS, the Knights at South Shore, SOUTHSHORE.com, and let them know if you're attending. And you know, I wish you would come up there and help us out, because it's one of the very few groups that we're struggling. You know what? We're probably outnumbered here, that they are in South Africa. Some of my buddies tuning in said that there's probably no doubt. He said that I overestimated how many white people we have that realize they're white in this country. I was thinking at least 50 to 60% of us, you know, were that way. I've always thought maybe a third of the conservatives here, but some of our brothers say it's more like 70% there. You know, and also I'd like to go back to some things that y'all said. Our brother also tuned in. I don't want to get too far astray, but you spoke earlier, Skull, about, you know, we talked about free speech, guns, and statues. You know, in this country right here, we've had this recently, red flag laws have popped up on the land where, you know, anybody can any citizen, non-citizen, they can call in to the local police or the FBI. Our police have been greatly federalized, but they can say, well, this person, I feel he scares me. I think he's a threat. I think he may be a little bit mentally off, saying he's got guns. Well, police can just come kick your door down. And if you resist in the least, they can just mow you down in cold blood and take your guns. So that's coming here. And our brother said that hardly anybody is raising any questions about that. They're questioning. They're just laying down and taking it. Now, I would assume, and I'm going to go back to you and Karen. I would assume that the gun laws there in South Africa for white people, not for the blacks, but the gun laws for the white people there are pretty draconian. I guess that's a rhetorical question, but. And I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but you know what? People say, oh, don't ask this, don't ask that, because it might cause the enmity of the government. But, I mean, how the hell else bad? How much worse can it get? What the hell can you say to stir the government over there up any worse than they are here? So, anyway, go ahead with that. I didn't want to go off on a rant, but go ahead with that.
I read about these red flag laws that envisage for the United States. And it's a terrible intervention, because there's no court order, there's nothing. It's just simply on the whimsical malice of a person that the police can come into your house and take your gun. Now, that's communist. We even leftists anymore, that's communist. That's how our communism would operate in a country to arm its citizens. And you're having it in the United States. Yes, the gun laws in South Africa are terribly draconian in terms of how to acquire guns. If you have guns, then usually you're quite safe. There's no laws that you expect now. But to acquire guns in the first place, that's the problem. And it's only basically handguns, your basic 9mm, 45, that type of weapons. And we don't have access to high capacity types like AR-15. If you can buy them, once again, it's so terribly difficult to get licensing and authorization to get that. It's basically practical. You can't do that. So we left with handguns, and hunting rifles. That's basically what's in our arsenal. So, yeah, that's what we face.
Well, you know, to relate back what's going on here in the United States, I'll go along with my brother. The Civil War, it seems like, has already started there in South Africa. And I would call it a cold Civil War, but it's not cold. When you have, you know, when you have people being murdered, burned alive, and raped and ground up, you know, like so much like cabbage, like hogs, you know, the Civil War has started. Here in the United States here, you know, things are deteriorating every day, every week, between the so-called left and the right, between the communist and the non-communist, the white people here in the country. I was listening to a guy today say that, and I'm relating this to what's going on in South Africa. I want our people here in the United States listening to this show to realize just how dire the situation is. You know, you can't just keep rocking in your chair like you're no longer in Kansas, buddy. But, you know, we are being outnumbered here, Karen and Skulk. You know, they're saying this will probably be the last Republican president ever in this country. And really, that's not so bad because, not to be able to go on a rabbit trail, but the Republicans and the Democrats are pretty much one and the same. I mean, you know, let's just face it. President Trump's turned out to be a crypto Jew. I mean, if that guy's not a Jew, you know, my beagle's not, doesn't howl. But, you know, but get back to what I was saying. We're outnumbered. The white people here in the United States are going down, and I want you to critique me on this if I'm telling you, I'll get you, just to let me know if I'm right. The white people in the United States here are going right down the same road as the South Africans did. First, and I know I've said this 100 times, I hope our audience don't get tired of me saying it. First, they came after the Lenin. They came and they got our flags, they got our symbols, they got our textbooks. They've come into our churches. They've taken over our churches. Then they came for the stone. They've taken our statues down. I referenced General Nathan Bedford's forest statue that they destroyed here. They took down the President Jefferson Davis's statue. It's almost like you're Satan incarnate if you're a white person that loves your racial heritage, your racial history, and you love your people. And I asked a fellow just last Tuesday when I was down running my stairs. I go down the stairs and run stairs to see these white people. I asked him if he was. Sure, go ahead.
I want to interrupt you. It's not even racial history. If you love real history, factual history, you become a racist and you become an enemy of the state. If you love facts. If you do not fall for the false narrative that's now presented, and it's not only in the United States, in South Africa, we've seen our history textbooks in schools rewritten to a narrative that's false, not factual. It's a simple lie. If you go against that, then all of a sudden you're a racist, and you're an enemy of the state.
Uh-oh, y'all. We got to go to a break. I hear the music coming. We'll come back. We left Miss Carol hanging a long time. We need to go back to Miss Carol and her chime in. So we will be right back, people. Hang on to your seats.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
A Bienus is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we are really lucky to have these people on tonight, but if you will be patient, even I'm having a little difficulty hearing the guests some, you know, but we're doing the best we can. Like we said, we're bringing our guests in from South Africa. But Karen, I'd like to go back to you and let you kind of tie these loose ends together that we've been talking about, because I know you can hear me and I can hear you better because we're here in the United States. So take off, Karen. Give us any comments that you have on these conversations. Me and Skulk have
talked about lately. Yeah, well, you know, it's extremely difficult to get a license for them, and only for handguns or hunting rifles. But at the same time, in South Africa, if you want to do anything, if you want to send your kids to school, if you want to open a bank account, if you want to do anything, you need to prove fixed address. So you have to prove that you have a fixed address. Now you look at 1 million people living in squatter camps, okay? They do not have a fixed address. And the other people who are not in the camps, they can't actually say, well, I'm third tree from the left on some country road. So those people are totally wiped out of the gun conversation altogether. It is very, very frightening. And what the police did with the guns, they told us to hand in our guns and reapply for licenses under the ANC. Which white South Africans, being very law-abiding citizens and not realizing that the most dangerous words in the world are we're from the government and we're here to help you, they didn't realize that. They thought it was true. Most people went and handed in their guns because we had to register them under the white government. So when the ANC took over, they, of course, had this nice gun registration list. They knew where you lived. They knew what firearms you had. So they took them away. Now, we were supposed to get them back. But, of course, many, 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 many people didn't get a new license. So what the police were doing was selling them or renting them out for around $5 a day to people who came into the police station and asked for them. Now, obviously, you are not selling them or hiring them out to law-abiding people, but this didn't really matter. Then on top of that, an army base was held up by some criminals wielding knives, and they took the guns and ammunition away from the soldiers. And the police stations have got private security companies surrounding them and guarding them at night because they're too scared to be there during the night of the hours of darkness because, well, they could be murdered. So you have
to understand
the overall picture of South Africa before you actually can understand the question of firearms in South Africa. So then a couple of weeks ago, the Minister of Police came out and he said they're going to tighten the gun restrictions. And they took, I think it was 300,000. I might be wrong on the number, but I think they took 300,000 of the firearms that had been handed in and destroyed them. And then they found that the police are missing X amount of firearms and the army is missing X amount of firearms and three quarters of the police service do not qualify to bear a firearm because they fail their test at the shooting range, etc. It's an absolute disastrous mess.
I have a question,
Ms. Karen. Can I throw in one statistic, Karen? The police confirmed that there was 9 million rounds of ammunition not accounted for. 9 million rounds.
Guys, I'd like to have a quick question. I'd like to ask a quick question. But Ms. Karen, did I hear you right when you said that a gang armed with knives took firearms away from the police or the army?
I might not have heard.
Okay, well, that leads to another question I'm going to ask y'all guys. I'm going to ask y'all this. Now, Skulk said that they're missing all this number of rounds and ammunition. Are the police, so evidently what you're saying is the police and the army, they're actually selling these guns and renting them out? That you said that?
Yes. So that's what happened. That's what's happening. Because
that's worse than here. That's amazing. I thought surely, Lord, I didn't hear that right. But Ken, I had to get you to restate that. I want our audience to know that. I mean, this could only happen in a black neighborhood. I mean, and people, here we have in Memphrica, where Memphrica is probably, I don't know, we're probably 70% black here. It's coming to a neighborhood near you. And you know what? I almost hate to say this. I know I'm going down a rabbit trail. I can't wait till it happens in some ways. I can't wait for these, for these lesbians downtown and midtown and for these conservatives. I can't wait till they start just butchering them. Not to butcher them, rhetorical. I can't wait till they can't even get out of their damn house because these armed blacks are running around like feral animals. And with that, I'll shut up. Go back to you, Ms. Karen, go ahead and finish leading the show.
Okay, so you know, the person who asked whether we're defeatist or not. Skok, I don't know if you heard that part of the show at all, where somebody asked, why am I so defeatist about the whites standing up against the blacks in South Africa? And I explained that South Africa is very big, people are widely spread, and a lot of people don't have guns. So for around 3 million people to stand up against 70 million people, I don't think it's defeatist. I think it's pretty realist. Now, what I would like you to do is to say the same thing you said on one of the other shows. If these 10,000 of them took to the streets, what would happen today?
Well, we know what would happen because the army and the police can't even control the Cape gangs, which it's small in number. It's a few neighborhoods. They can't even control that. Now, if the EFF now number more than 1 million members. If the EFF, which is the largest radical black group in South Africa, hardline communist, 1960s, 50s type of communists, if they go to the street tomorrow, the army and the police cannot stop them. It's not even would they stop them. I believe that a lot of the police and the army will go with the EFF. But it's a practical thing of they will not be able to stop these guys. Now who's going to stop them? The whites. Maybe we must stop them. If it happens in Natal, there's a faint chance that the Zulus will oppose them, although that's also not a clear thing, a clearly made out thing. But that's the practical thing. If a million EFF guys go to the streets tomorrow, the army cannot stop them. Being defeatist, no, it's being realistic. Yes, we're going to fight, and if there's blood, there's going to be blood of many of our opponents. The Boer people have never been defeated. We fight to the bitter end. But it's a practical thing, exactly what you're saying. We're outnumbered to the extent that it's going to be a slaughter. It's going to be a fight, but it's going to be a slaughter of our side. There's no practical way of looking at it differently, unless the United States or Europe or wherever is willing to step in and assist us, which I think is not going to happen.
I'll hate to interrupt you. What about the weapons? There's rumors of weapons of the Red Chinese are bringing through Botswana. Do you think any of your people have the chance, or any of our white people able to buy any of these weapons? The Red Chinese. You know, the Red Chinese up here are getting a huge influence there in South Africa. What about these weapons? Do you know anything about the weapons? To rephrase my question, the weapons being brought in from the Red Chinese into South Africa from Botswana.
Yeah, I don't know if that's rumors. We don't need Chinese. The criminals in South Africa and the gangs in South Africa and all these guys, they don't need Chinese weapons. They get from the police. That's why I made the statement that the Minister of Police admitted that they lost, let's call it lost, they can't account for 9 million rounds of ammunition. And this is 0.223 NATO. It's 9mm, it's military rounds that's missing.
Well, people, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, I've got the one question I'm going to ask when we come back, or make a statement. You have to get ready now. You really do. It's just going to get worse. Anyway, we'll come right back after this break, people. It's my favorite song.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Hong Kong protesters threw bricks and gasoline bombs at the police, who responded with tear gas as chaotic scenes returned to the summer-long anti-government protest for the first time in nearly 2 weeks. Hundreds of black-clad protesters armed with bamboo poles and baseball bats fought with police officers wielding batons on a main road following the march that was sparked by surveillance fears. Fernando Chang is trying to build a bridge between the police and the young protesters.
The youth don't necessarily listen to the legislators, but we are here to witness what's going on, be the bridge between the police and the protesters, make sure that there's sufficient time for the protesters to respond, make sure that the police don't jump onto their violent conclusion so fast.
The violence has interrupted nearly 2 weeks of calm in Hong Kong, which had been gripped by a turbulent pro-democracy movement since June. This is USA Radio News.
Right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon of fuel every day. That's 5 cents off every gallon with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. It's quick and easy to join. Just visit makeitcount.com/radio or download the free app. So start saving today with Make It Count from Marathon. Offer valid only at participating Marathon locations. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Churches across the nation will mark a disturbing anniversary this weekend. USA's Chris Barnes has details.
The bells will be rung at churches on Sunday to mark the 400th anniversary of the arrival of the first African-American slaves in the English colonies. Most churches will do so at 3 p.m. local time, ringing them for 4 minutes, 1 minute for each century of slavery on these shores. It's part of a year-long commemoration spearheaded by the 400 Years of African-American History Commission, which is administered by the National Park Service.
Another Democrat has dropped out of the race for the presidency. Representative Seth Moulton ended his White House bid. His exit leaves 21 Democrats in the field. The three-term congressman said in a speech that he feels confident he raised issues that are vitally important to the American people and the future. He said he will continue to pledge vigorously for the eventual Democratic nominee. His campaign was focused on foreign policy, national security, and mental health, as well as helping veterans. This is USA Radio News.
Let that song play just a minute. I wish that was our national anthem. God knows I love that song. Anyway, people, the wrong people won that war, Second World War. They most certainly did. And if you don't believe me, just do a little bit of research. We've researched here thousands of hours in this show. My brother Rich Hamlin, anybody in our movement can tell you if only an idiot would think that the right people won that Second World War. Anyway, I digress. Listen, we have one of our brothers, we're getting emails in. They're saying a couple of things here. I want to make a couple of comments. They're saying, what about, have one question I ask, hope you remember these. They have, how big is the Chinese influence in there right now in South Africa? And, you know, and they're also saying it's too, you know, it's not going to get any better. You've got to prepare. Well, but that's a double-edged sword, in my opinion. Prepare with what? How prepare? I guess you have two choices. It sounds really dire. Either you sit there and just get killed, or you try to take some with you. Personally, and I'll shut up, it's my own belief that your only hope there, as it is here in this country here, we're going to have to get on our knees and pray. I think you people are being tested, as I know we're being tested by God. We've gone away from, totally away from God. I mean, we've got these pedophile homosexuals in running the streets, running the churches, running the schools. I mean, we've got, for God's sake, we have foreign aliens in the Congress wearing burkas. We have college professors in places like Harvard, and I'm telling you the flat out truth, calling for the death of the white race. They're saying that the only solution to save this world is to kill all white people. And they're saying that anyone that would object to that has got to be mentally ill. If you object to being killed out, even if you're white, then you're mentally ill. And I agree with our caller, you know, one of our other fans texting in. Our churches here in the United States, I think they're worse than useless. I really do. I used to be a Baptist. I'm so sick and tired of them. They're probably 70% of the cucks in this country. But anyway, if you remember the questions I asked you, what about the skulk? What about the red Chinese? How big is their influence in there? And when are y'all going to do something? Because it's not going to get any better. I'm passing these questions on, folks. So go ahead, fella.
Well, tremendously big. They basically took over our electricity grid through our electricity utility Eskom. So tremendously big. And then in every town and every city, you will find Chinese businesses all over the place. You will find the Chinese even having, in certain cities, they even have their own police forces now by virtue of the state. So tremendously big. The American influence in South Africa and Southern Africa is diminishing. Don't get the idea that you still have any power base in Africa, because you don't. The Chinese have basically taken over everything.
Skulk, I think it's important here to say that the law passed in 2008, making the Chinese black.
Yeah, but a Chinese person, it's not even a law. It was the Constitutional Court that made that finding. In terms of which a Chinese person is deemed to be a black person in South Africa. So in other words, he can step off the ship today, and tomorrow he's a black person and getting all the benefits through legislation that's given to black people. He's part of the so-called black empowerment setup in South Africa. So yes, Karen, you're quite right. A Chinese by being a Chinese by virtue of a court order by the Constitutional Court is a black person now.
And therefore, they abide by the same laws that whites do.
Exactly. People, I want y'all to repeat that. That's very important what you just said. I just want to make sure our listeners and our audience understand that, and then I'll rephrase it, and you tell me if I'm right. So, Red Chinese coming into South Africa, getting off of a boat, getting off of a train, coming into the country. They are legally, they are considered black, and they get all the same privileges and rights as black people in South Africa. Is that a true statement that I've just made? Did I understand it right?
That is a true statement. I'm going to discuss it just within 1 minute. I can discuss it with you. The original court order related to those Chinese living in South Africa prior to 1994. But it once again becomes a practical thing of how do you distinguish between one Chinese and the next one? How do you do that? So in other words, Chinese people are deemed to be black people in terms of the black empowerment laws. Full stop. Are you going to distinguish this guy as living in South Africa before 94, after 94? It's impossible. So yes, in practical terms, that's exactly the truth that you stated now.
Also, Eddie, I think you may have missed this, but for me it is a critical thing that's happening in South Africa. The Chinese have been granted permission to have 13 Chinese-run police stations. Now, in what country do you have foreigners running their own police force?
Here in the United States, where we have the Zionists, we have these international Zionist Jews. Not in a way, because we have in our Congress, and I think I brought this up on our show 2 weeks ago. We have a Congress here that voted 438 to nothing, 438 total approval of a resolution sponsored by a Jewish congressman by the name of David Kustoff. I'll repeat, I know our listeners have probably heard me say this. He is Lee Congressman's, Lee Cochran. He's in here in the studio with me tonight. He's Lee Cochran's congressman. He's Jewish, of course, and he puts forth this resolution that pretty much, and I'm going to get to the cut to the quick of it, where the rubber meets the road. Basically, anything you say negative about a Jew or about is the state of Israel is anti-Semitic. If it's negative, you can praise them all day long. But yes, here in this country, here y'all, the Jews run Hollywood, all the filth coming out of Hollywood. They run the universities. They can totally control the police. Our police here in the United States are being federalized more every day. You can't even fly without being fondled down. You can't go. There's no such thing as states' rights. But yes, the Jews. And yes, that's right. In this country right here, we have police stations that are run by Jews, and they're not considered white here. But to answer your question, I know that's not right. I know that's kind of.
It is not entrenched in the law. You know, like South Africa, because I don't know another country in the world where there are more than 100 race-based laws to protect the majority of 70 million against the minority of 3-point-something million. I mean, where does that exist? That's entrenched in law. And now, included in that 70 million are the thousands of Chinese moving into South Africa because now they're black. I mean, you know, that is entrenched in law in South Africa. So it's just terrifying what these people who should not be in charge of a country here or there, the powers that should not be, but it is terrifying to me how a handful of them can dictate to hundreds of millions around the world what they should not do, say, think, feel, eat. It's frightening to me.
Well,
Karen, you live here.
We can't miss the point that the whole transition in South Africa in 94 was Jewish. It was a Jewish affair. It was Jews that were sitting, and I'm not being anti-Semitic when I say these things. You can go look it up for yourself. It was Jews sitting in the benches of Kudeta telling the ANC what to do and not to do. It was a Jewish affair, the whole takeover. So in other words, the whole design of the state of Jews of Africa is Jewish and Indian.
No, absolutely, Skulk, because the ANC was founded by Jews in Britain.
Yes, it's as simple as that.
Yes, it was.
Nelson Mandela was a lawyer, and he was taught by a Jew. He received his articleship. I'm also a lawyer. He received his articleship in a Jewish firm, Schwartz. The guy's name was Schwartz. And from there on, yes, of course, if you go and look at Thabo Mbeki was sponsored by the Jewish community in London. And we can cite hundreds of examples. Joe Slovo was a Lithuanian Jew. He came over to South Africa, not even a South African Jew, a Lithuanian Jew coming into South Africa, coming and telling the ANC how to run their armed struggle against the state.
But even prior to that, who owned the diamond mines? Who owned the gold? Who were, you know, those people? They were all London Jews.
Yes.
Yes, you know what? People also, Jews went into, it's a well-known fact, during the Mao Zedong's long march in the fight that Mao had against General Chiang Kai-shek. General Chiang Kai-shek was fighting. He was on. He was trying to set up a Republican type government like we used to have in this country right here. But our own government right here, the State Department of the United States, they backed the communists. But the communist government in China was also put in by Jews people. That's fact. And I love it when people call me anti-Semite. I love that. I just laugh my butt off. I know if they call me anti-Semite, I know I'm flying over the target. Catching flak, you're over the target. It's a cliche, but it's so true. People, hang on to your seats. We're getting ready to go back to our last segment. This show has really flown by. We'll be right back.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Well, people, we're right back. I appreciate you holding on. I appreciate your patience. We've done some. This is a totally different format that we've ever done. We've had Miss Karen Smith on. In case you didn't tune on the first of the show, Miss Karen Smith was born and raised in South Africa, and she was forced out of there for obvious reasons. If you've been listening to this show very long, if you know what's going on in South Africa, it's the murder rate there is higher. If your chances of being killed, if you're a white person in South Africa, is greater than the combat infantry soldier or Marine at the height of the Vietnam War. That's amazing, but I'll just repeat that. At the height of the Vietnam War, my brother, infantrymen and Marines in Vietnam, they were being slaughtered there, but their slaughter rate was not as a high a rate as the whites or the rate of whites being slaughtered right now in South Africa. Also, I just said we think it's true. I won't say it for sure, but it looks like that our Jewish president here, Trump, crypto Jew, has appointed a Jewish ambassador to South Africa. We're not saying that's 100% true, but that's what we're hearing, you know, according to some of the people that are tuning into our show. So do you know anything about that, y'all?
No, I'm not ambassador sure. Who are you referring to now?
She's a lady, she's a businesswoman, she has a handbag manufacturing company. But unfortunately, although she was appointed approximately 2 years ago, she has not gotten through Congress yet, because Congress is slow-walking all of these people. So we have a temporary ambassador in South Africa, and she was supposedly going now before Congress took their break. But unfortunately, that did not happen. So the temporary ambassador to South Africa is being moved somewhere else. And so you're not going to have anybody
that was also my last information, because we go to the American embassy on a regular basis. Myself being National Conservative Party, our sister organization, Black Monday Move.
Yeah, this is one of the problems
we've,
you have.
We've gone to the embassy now, if I remember correctly.
Well, people, let me ask you this question right here real quick. Like, you may not know this. Have any of your government members, have you had an opportunity to get a direct audience with President Trump? Or you probably, that's probably a dumb question. I doubt seriously if any white person from South Africa could ever get an audience with Trump. But is it, I mean, is that a stupid, do you know if it's I know it sounds kind of crazy. It probably couldn't ever do that. It's like asking me if I'm going to win the Boston Marathon. But, you know, have, to your knowledge, have you ever had a delegation, anybody from South Africa, to go to President Trump and tell him just what's going on there, just the slaughter, the suicide, the white genocide? Has anybody been able to get through to him about that?
Yes, the answer is yes. More than one person in my close circle is in direct contact with the White House and direct contact with the presidency. So he's fully aware of it. He's fully aware. Karen, you will also know about Sunette Bridges, that she was at some function with him now recently. There were even photographs taken.
Yes. I'm not going
to divulge the names of my people close to the White House. I'm obviously not going to do that. But yes, there's people speaking directly to the presidency. He knows about these things. He knows about them. And nothing is happening.
You know, I'm going to say this. I've said it once before. I really don't consider myself an American, and like most people do. When I see that flag, that American flag, God help me, but it just infuriates me. I know that rubs a lot of people wrong, but the flag flying here in the United States of America, the federal flag, it's the same flag that came in and raped and killed people in the South. It's the same people that came in and just destroyed crops, burnt barns down, you know, raped women, killed men, little old men and boys. And we're still being punished by the same forces that run that federal flag. People that, you know, the people that control this federal flag here in the United States of America, they're the same one under this crypto Jew we have in the White House here in the United States, just allowing all this rape and pillage and murder going to South Africa. You know what? If they were doing that to the blacks in your country, I know I'm singing this song to the church choir here. But if they were doing that to the blacks in South Africa, if God forbid if some Jew got raped or got slapped in the face. You know, they would be sending the 82nd Airborne in there over, and the Rangers would be there overnight. It's just, I'm so disgusted. I just feel like vomiting every time I see that federal flag flying. It, God knows we lost that flag at the when Lincoln's War. That's just another rabbit trail, y'all. But I just want to. I'm going to tell you, don't judge all Americans by the crypto Jew government, the Zog government, the Zionist occupational government. We're all under, y'all people are suffering under it worse than we are, but we're all suffering under the same Zog government here. And now it's not, you know what, Israel is really worldwide. It's not even just Israel anymore. The whole damn world is pretty much their Israel. But because of Jew, they run every stinking country in the world. And I'm shutting up, going back to you, Scott.
No, you're quite right. The Tsar government, the Zionist occupational government, we knew about these things even in the 70s and the 80s. We knew about these things. We told our American brothers, guys, you're being run by a foreign government. You're being run from Israel. You're not being run from New York or from Washington. We told it to you guys. And I know there's people who listen. You yourself, I hear from the way that you speak, you know about these things. We've known these things all along. When they came to South Africa, we warned our own brethren here. A foreign government is going to run South Africa, and it's what's happening. We're not being run. The ANC is not running this country. If people think that the ANC is running South Africa, they are stupid. They are front men. Just to take the point of Trump a little bit further. I myself drew up a document of more than 1,000 pages. 1,000 pages. That was handed to number three advisor to Trump in Trump Towers Hotel. I think it's in Washington. I'm not sure. In Washington or New York. It was handed to that person in his hands, personally, by one of my delegates. 1,000-page document. And we haven't heard anything back yet. Now what are we supposed to do then?
You know, go ahead, Karen. I've been raving to her.
Yeah,
back to you, Karen.
Scott also put them on legal terms, not only the United States Embassy in South Africa, but many other Western embassies, that should they not respond and take action against what's going on in South Africa, the blood is on their hands. And to this day, the answer has been crickets. So I don't know what to do because I and some other people here in the States have met with congressmen here, so they can't say they don't know. We've done postcard and letter and email drives to congressmen, to the White House, to Mrs. Trump, to everybody. We get absolutely no response, not even an acknowledgement that they've received them. So I really don't know what we can do. A response out of the American Congress, because it seems impossible to me. And I know someone's going to say I'm defeatist again. No, I'm not. We are continuing. We have not given up doing it. But it just makes you feel like you're hitting your head against a brick wall, because you spend all this time and energy and money doing these things and for absolutely zero response.
Yes, exactly. You know, exactly. I personally, through the National Conservative Party, which is a registered political party under our own legislation in South Africa, we're not some rabbit group running around. We're a fully fledged registered political party. We put the American government and the Australian government on terms to say to them in a legal document, if you do not respond, then you become party to a genocide in South Africa. And up to today, nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Not one
peep from him. Well, you know, people, the number one ingredient, and this is just me too, this is not a call or anything, the number one ingredient missing here in the world right now, especially here in the United States, is courage. And I know to praise Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I had a bunch of quotes. I love Alexander. He was right on the money. He says that a decline in courage may be the most striking feature that an outside observer noticed in the West today. And I'm going to say this right now. There's, you know, the number one ingredient we have in this country here that's missing in white men. I don't know what in the hell has happened to white men, but there is no courage. You go pick your meeting. The meeting I'm going to be going to next week, the meeting that's going to be going to in Alabama the week after that, the meeting we went to like 6 weeks ago, there, you know what, there are every stinking meeting, us white white people have a gutless white people, including myself. It's always going to be inside of four walls. And God knows we can't meet people to talk about what we're talking about tonight unless we're behind four walls with guards that are armed to the teeth. We can't arm ourselves. We can't guard ourselves because we don't have the courage. And you know what? And we're too far above the fray. We can't dirty our hands by carrying firearms. We can't get out there in the street. We can't go into congressman's office and raise hell. We can't go into these cuck churches and raise hell. We can't get in the street. We can't do what white people used to do. There is no courage in this country anymore. I despise these gutless men in this country right here. I despise the gutless men in the world. They could not get by with the crap they're getting by with now if with people like us didn't sit on our butt and allow it to happen. I'm going to shut up. We're almost out of time, but people, that's it. I'm sorry we ran out of time. We will be getting back to Miss Karen and Skull very soon. Thank you for coming on tonight. Thank you, people, for putting up with this. It's a brand new format. We thought we'd try this tonight. I think for considering all the difficulties we had to go through, I think we did a pretty good job. We'll be seeing y'all next week. We'll be broadcasting from our four high walls up in Harrison, Arkansas. Good night. God bless you.